Turn with me to the book of James. Those of you who have been following along with us know that we are journeying through James. We are now at the last chapter, chapter 5, and I want to highlight in our hearing, starting at verse 7, we'll read all the way to verse 12. James chapter 5, starting at verse 7. Reads as follows from the English Standard Version. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives there the early and the latter rains. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Verse 9 says, "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." I want to put a tag on this text and talk about, for a timely tidbit, the power of perseverance. The power of perseverance. The power of perseverance. My brothers and sisters, I've tried to convey through this series, this journey through James, that the believers to whom James originally wrote his New Testament book were living in difficult days and trying times. Many of them were struggling with poverty as well as enduring persecution for their faith in Christ. In the closing chapter of this book, James seeks to encourage them to persevere. In other words, he's saying to them, stick with it, keep on trying, and he says, continue in the faith. The truth is this, beloved, is that not a word for us today, that we have to stick with it, keep trying, and continuing in the faith? You see, because perseverance is the continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulty, failure, or opposition. And that is what James is conveying to his readers. In spite of what we're facing, we have to stick with it. We have to keep going. And we have to continue in the faith. For 2,000 years later, the same spirit that inspired these words speaks the same challenge to us today. No matter what we're facing, what may be trying our perseverance, the Lord says to all of us today, he says, stick with it, keep going, and continue in the faith, for there is power in perseverance. Listen, I know that there will be a day where we will no longer have to face difficulties or disappointments and trials and tribulations. However, we don't get to choose when that day will come. In this passage before us, the Word of God gives us encouragement that we need to keep on going until the Lord gives us rest from our labor. And listen, if there is to be power in perseverance, first of all, we need to see who we need to copy. It's in the text. I don't want to think you think I'm making this up. That's the first point I want you to see, who we need to copy. If there is going to be power, listen, help me here, somebody. If we're going to be able to hang in there, if we're going to be able to fight through it and persevere through the trials and the tribulations and the difficulties that life brings, the truth is this, we need to see the text is tailored to teach us who we need to copy. Here it is. In 1993, Nike made a stir with a feature, with an ad featuring Hall of Fame basketball player Charles Barkley. In that ad, Barkley says coldly and callously, "I am not a role model. And truth of the matter is that although people got upset with Barkley for that ad, he was, in essence, right on target. The truth is this, I believe, my brothers and sisters, that although people worship athletes and actors and celebrities and entertainers, they are, help me hear somebody, they are not really the role models we ought to be following. Most of them are more dysfunctional than the regular folk. I wish somebody would help me. And that's why I like James 5, because here James tries to encourage the Christian, he tries to encourage Christian endurance and patience by pointing us to some real, authentic, biblical role models. And the truth is this, beloved, if you hear me and hear me good, verse 10 says, as an example of suffering and patience, brother, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The word translated example literally means something to copy. It is a word used to describe the letters in a copybook that students would trace in order to learn how to write. And James says, here are some lives that we need to copy. Here are some patient people from which we can learn how to live on this side. Notice the example James raises for us to copy. First of all, he reminds us to copy those who serve with faithfulness. It's in the text. Again, verse 10, James says, as an example, he says, take the prophets. Listen, he is referring to the men who were called to deliver God's word to God's people. In Acts 7, Stephen preached a scathing sermon to the Jewish authorities where in verse 52, he asked the question, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? In other words, name one prophet that was not persecuted under peril or trials and tribulations. You see, beloved, the prophets of God were maligned. The truth is they were mistreated simply because, listen, as James says, they spoke the name of the Lord. They were attacked. The Bible declares that they were afflicted and even abused. And yet, in spite of all that, they were patient and they faithfully carried on their work in the Lord. Hear me and hear me good, beloved, because what I've discovered that even when we are doing what we are supposed to be doing, we nonetheless have to experience affliction, adversity, and sometimes even abuse. The word suffering in verse 10 describes hardship or somewhat what someone would call misfortune. In other words, even when we serve the Lord and serve well, hear me good, note this, we will still struggle through some storms. The truth of the matter is, beloved, I know I'm right about it because it reminds me of Charles Simeon, who was the pastor of the Trinity Church in Cambridge, England for many years. Matter of fact, over 50 years. And in the early years, Simeon was hated by a large number of people in his congregation. The truth is, they felt he was not good enough for them, and they treated him terribly for decades. When he was 71 years of age, a friend of his asked him, he said, Charles, my brother, how have you endured all the trials of your ministry at Cambridge? Simeon simply answered like this, my dear brother, we must not mind a little suffering for Christ's sake. I like that. Hear me and hear me good, because listen, I'm saying here right now is that I hear you saying I'm living for the Lord and yet I'm still struggling. I'm trying to do what is right and still there's strife and difficulties in my life. I'm trying to keep my hand on the gospel plow and yet there's still difficulties that's coming in my life. And I hear you saying that. I get it. I understand it. Bought the t-shirt and passed it all out to my cousins. Can I say this though like I feel it? Listen, you are not the first one to struggle and you will not be the last one. As long as you're on planet Earth, there will be some struggles in our life. That even in the midst, beloved, of adversity, affliction, and abuse, we got to keep on serving just like the prophets did. When we look at them, we got to copy their service. In spite of the hardship, they kept on hammering. In spite of the difficulty, they kept on on driving in spite of the trials and tribulations in their life. Although they were persecuted, they persevered in the name of the Lord. They spoke up for God in the midst of challenging times and did not shudder back, did not fall back. They kept on keeping on. I wish somebody would help me. And the truth is, if we are going to be like anybody, we don't want to just be like Mike. We want to be like the Messiah. Come on, somebody help me. We want to serve and serve right. We want to serve like the prophets serve. They kept on serving, even though they had problems. They kept on serving, even though they had predicaments. They kept on serving, even though they were persecuted. Listen, they preserved with power. James sets before us not only those who will have served with faithfulness, but notice also he gives us another example to copy. Not only the prophets, but watch this, those who have suffered faithfully. He says if you want to preserve with power, you got to recognize, you got to copy those who served with faithfulness, but you also, hear me good, got to watch this. You got to preserve by copying those who suffered with faithfulness. I know that's a bad word in Christendom. I wish somebody would help me. Watch what James says in verse 11. He says, you have heard of the steadfastness of Job. Listen, Job is a name that even people who are not familiar with the Bible know something about. Job, my brothers and sisters, James does not need to elaborate on Job's story. He assumes that his readers know all about what Job endured. The Old Testament book of Job tells us how Job was a righteous man, and yet God saw fit to allow his whole world to be turned upside down. The truth of the matter is, we know that his children died, his fortune disintegrated, his health declined, his wife disparaged him, his own friends doubted his integrity. Nonetheless, even though Job struggled with difficulties, he did not succumb to despair. Watch Job's words. He says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. But watch this. He says, blessed be the name of the Lord. I like that right there, that in spite of whatever it is I'm going through, I recognize that the Lord can give it and the Lord can take it back. And all I can say is step back and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Watch what Job says. Job says in Job 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Those words simply mean this, though even if God kills me, he's all I got. And how many of us have ever been to that place in our own life that we, our back has been up against the wall, we've been between the devil and the deep blue sea, and we can say, even if I die right here, even if God takes me out, I recognize I'm still gonna put my trust in him. That is the testimony of Job. That is the testimony of our prophets. That is that no matter what comes our way, we gonna still persevere. The Bible even testifies for Job. It says, in all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God foolishly. Listen, somebody needs to get this, cause you may feel as if you're ready to quit as a result of the suffering that God saw fit to send your way. I hear you saying, I can't take it anymore. I've had enough. I'm just gonna give up and throw in the towel. James would say, now is not the time to quit. Copy Job. I wish somebody would help me. Live with a resolute dependence on God, just like Job did, and continue under unending conviction to keep your trust in the Almighty. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel, but be determined to depend on the one who is able to see you through. I wish I had time to just shout you real quick and just tell you right up front, my God is an able God. My God is so able that no matter what it is that is dawning on your doorstep, no matter what you're dealing with, listen, God is able to handle it. I wish somebody would get that real quick, because the truth of the matter is you can't understand it if you've never been through anything. But if you've been through something, if you've been through some difficult days, you found out that your God is an able God. You want to know how I know you know? Simply because you are in this place right now. You still got the activity of your limbs. You still got blood flowing through your body. And the truth is, you ought to rev back real quick and shout, my God is an able God. Preach, Reese, I'm trying to do that. Matter of fact, right where you are, just type it in the comment section. Say, God is an able God. He's able. He's able to see us through. And listen, beloved, it is the truth of the matter is that we have people that we can copy. We have people that who serve with faithfulness. We have people who suffered with faithfulness. And I like the way the Apostle Paul put it when he said it like this. He said, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. We want the power, but we don't want the suffering. Listen, when I was growing up, my walls were conveyed with posters of my favorite athletes, among whom was a life-size poster of Magic Johnson, the famed Showtime Los Angeles Laker. I wish somebody would help me. He was my favorite player at the time, sitting on my favorite team. And don't y'all Sacramento Kings start hating here, because y'all didn't have a team for me to like. Amen. Back in that day. So I had to like somebody, and it turned out to be the Lakers. Listen, I wanted to be just like Magic Johnson, but the only problem was I was only 6'1", slow as molasses, and only about 145 pounds. I couldn't be like Magic no matter how hard I tried. You see, my brothers and sisters, I told you that story because that's what I love about this passage. James is not giving us some superheroes. Listen, hear me, beloved. People with extraordinary gifts. No. Somebody shout, no. No. What he is giving us is these were ordinary people who had an extraordinary drive to serve and suffer with faithfulness. And beloved, so it is with you and I. We've got to learn, we just ordinary people that need to have an extraordinary drive, that no matter what comes our way, we're going to keep on serving. That no matter what comes our way, no matter how much we have to suffer, we are going to persevere. We're going to hang in there. And James said, if you want to copy somebody, copy the prophets and copy Job. Listen, notice the second truth. Not only who we need to copy if there's going to be power in perseverance, but James further describes what we need to cope. How are we going to cope with this thing? How are we going to cope with what we're going through? Listen, not only what we need to copy, but what we need to cope. Verse 10 and 11, we find the word patience in the older translations. James says that the prophets are examples of patience. Then he refers to the patience of Job. But in the original language, James uses two different words in each of these instances. Some newer translations pick up on this, like the ESV, the English Standard Version that we've read today, refers to the steadfastness of Job or the endurance of Job in other places. James indicates that both these aspects of patience are necessary to help us preserve, to help us to cope. And what are these two kinds of patience that we need to cope with in this life? First of all, we need patience with people. You ain't got to say amen right here. Some of y'all got Pookie, Ray Ray, Mama Nim, and Lil Earl in your life. Come on, somebody help me. And you can shout right here, because that's what James is talking about. He's saying we need to learn and have some patience with people. Verse 10 again, James describes the prophets as an example of patience. The word translated patience in this verse is the same one used in verse 7, where he said, therefore, be patient until the coming of the Lord. The word is a compound word of two words, which means long and tempered. It is to be long tempered as opposed to being short tempered. It is what we call long suffering. This kind of patience is practiced regarding people. Hear me, beloved. Do I need to tell you that people can be difficult? Come on, somebody help me. People can be persnickety, and people can have funny style ways. And we need this kind of patience to deal with people. For when people are difficult, when their actions disappoint us, what we need is to be long-suffering with them. That's the text. I'm trying to help somebody today. Rather than losing our temper with somebody and giving up our testimony in the process where we done cussed everybody out. I wish somebody would tell the truth in church today. We done messed up and tainted our testimony. Listen, James says that we need a slow, tempered, long-suffering patience with the people around us. It reminds me, beloved, of this Quaker who owned a stubborn and ornery cow. Every day that cow would step on his foot or kick over the milk bucket, listen, or swat him with her tail. The Quaker, however, was always calm, and the Quaker was always kind to the cow. But one day the cow was so particularly bad, he kicked over the milk bucket. He stepped on both of the Quaker's feet and kept on swatting the Quaker with his tail, with her tail. And so the Quaker had as much as he was about to take with this cow. And so he went into the front of the cow, pointed his finger in the cow's face. He says, you know that I am a Quaker, and as a Quaker, you know that I cannot strike you. But if you don't straighten up, I'm going to sell you to a Baptist. I wish somebody would help me. Tap somebody and say, you'll get that on the way home. I wish somebody would help me. Listen, we laugh, but here we're not. We need to be long-suffering and slow-tempered and patient with people, the people around us. We need to be patient with Pookie, Ray Ray, Mama Nim, and Lil Earl. Listen, can I help you real quick on why we ought to be patient with other people around us? Listen, because somebody was patient with you. Can I just say that one more time? The reason we ought to have long-suffering patience with other folk is because somebody was patient with you. You ain't got to say amen right here, but the truth of the matter is somebody was altogether long-suffering for you and your foolishness in your own life. And the truth of the matter is, beloved, somebody needs to understand that we didn't just arrive here on planet Earth having it all together. Somebody was patient till we got it together. Are you listening to me? Whether it was mommy or daddy or big mama or mama them, listen, whether it was our boss or someone we had mad love for, somebody was real patient with you. And can I go another further? Because if you can't find a person that was patient with you, please note, beloved, that you can identify Almighty God. I wish somebody who had been patient with all of us. We have done things we shouldn't have done, gone places we shouldn't have gone, said things that we shouldn't have never came out of the mouth of a child of God. Come on, somebody help me. And yet, somebody can shout, God never gave up on us. As a matter of fact, Peter said it like this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us. That ought to shout somebody today, because listen, God did not give us what we deserve when we deserved it. He kept on being patient with us till he got us where he wanted us to be. Psalms 86 line 15 says, but you,
O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that I serve a God who is long-suffering. Come on, somebody help me. Serve a God who is long-suffering and a patient God. Listen, type that in the comment section if you can. Type this, please be patient with me because God is not through with me yet. Yeah, go ahead. If you still got persnickety ways, if you still got some stuff on you, I wish somebody would help me. That ain't too holy. That ain't too right. Just tell somebody, please be patient with me because God ain't through with me yet. How do you do that? Listen, I'm glad you asked because verse 9 says you do it by not grumbling against one another, lest you be condemned. He says, because the real judge is standing at the door. Don't be so quick to complain and criticize somebody else. He says literally that you're not the judge. You're not the one. The real judge is standing at the door. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is, beloved, the word grumble means don't complain. Don't complain. Can I help give you a word picture real quick? It was Charles Schultz's picture of Charlie Brown bringing out Snoopy's dinner on Thanksgiving Day, but it was just his usual dog food in a bowl. So Snoopy took one look at the dog food and said, "This isn't fair. The rest of the world today is eating turkey with all of the trimmings, and all I get is dog food." Why? Because I'm a dog, so all I get is dog food. So he stood there and stared at his dog food for a moment and said, "Well, I guess it could be worse. I could be a turkey." I wish somebody would help me. Listen, we laugh, but we got to stop complaining. We got to stop complaining, and we got to stop grumbling against our brother and our sister, because the truth of the matter is what we're complaining about could be a whole lot worse. I wish I had some thankful people in the house that no matter how bad it might be, ain't no sense in complaining, no matter how tough that person may be in our life, ain't no sense in complaining, because it could be a whole lot worse. I wish somebody would help me. If you find that you got a challenge or a problem, you better recognize you can always find somebody else who's got a bigger problem than you. Are you listening to me? Tap somebody and say, stop complaining or stop grumbling. Tell them God has been good to you. Watch this. We need to be patient with people, but also we need to be patient with problems. That's why in verse 11, James mentions the steadfastness of Job, translated patience in earlier translations. Again, this is a different word than the other one in verse 10. It is the same word found in chapter 1 where James says, knowing that the testing of your faith, watch what he says, produces patience. The word literally means to stay under. It speaks of endurance or perseverance. It's the kind of patience we need, not with people, but with problems. Are you listening to me? It is when the pressures of a problem begin to weigh heavy upon our heart, rather than giving up, rather than caving in, what we need is a patient endurance that allows us to carry on despite the problem. Someone has pointed out that the word persevere is a compound of the prefix per, which means through, along with the word severe. In other words, to persevere is to go through that which is severe, that which is tough, that which is difficulty. It simply means to keep on going until you get through it. Are you listening to me? To remain under that thing until God lifts it up. And the truth is, beloved, it simply means to cope with the hardships of life and to keep on going. It reminds me of Charles Allen, who was a Methodist preacher and author. In one of his books, he included a poem called Keeping On. Part of that poem says, I've drained the cup of disappointment and pain. I've gone many days without song, but I've sipped enough nectar from the rose of life to make me want to live on. I like that because, listen, you and I, those of you who are out there looking at me on the internet, on social media, those of you who are in the building today, the truth is this: we all have sipped enough of the grace of God. We have all taken a drink of the mercy of God to make us want to go on despite the problems we face in life, simply because God has been good to us. And the same God that brought us through back in the day is the same God that will bring us through now. The same God that took us through the trials and tribulations in our past is the same God that will take us through today. The same God that when we didn't have a job was the same God that still put food on our table. The same God that when I lost my car, come on somebody help me, he gave me a friend to give me a ride. And the same God that brought us through back then, I wish somebody would help me. You better recognize it's the same God right now. And all of us can testify, I've sipped enough of the nectar of God. I've sipped enough of the grace of God. I've sipped enough of the mercy of God in my life to recognize that I can still keep on going in spite of the problems that I face in this life. Because I know from experience that what my God can do. We've seen God work miracles in strange places. We've watched him open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open. We've seen him take his hand through tough conditions, and we've watched him make ways through the hills and the valleys of life. We can't help but to keep on going. We can't help but to persevere. We can't help but to keep on pushing in spite of our problems. But in order to do that, we need to learn how to be patient in the problem. And can I help you real quick? We can be patient in the problem because we can testify that we know that trouble don't last always. We can endure and we can be patient in the problem because we know that weeping may endure for a night, but somebody can shout, joy comes in the morning. Anybody know what joy is? Joy is in spite of, not because of. In spite of what I'm going through, I got joy. In spite of the difficulty, I got joy. In spite of the challenge in my life, I got joy. In spite of the burden that is on my heart, I got joy. And if I was singing like I wanted to, I would say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world, woo, can't take it away. Preach, Reese, I'm trying to do that today. Are you listening to me? How are we going to cope with this thing? He says he gives us patience with the people around us, but he also gives patience, listen, with the problems that we are facing. I hope somebody gets that to me. That's how we cope. But listen, let me just give you this one point. I'll give you the meat. I'll give you the bones. You put the meat on it when you get home. We see that if there's going to be power in perseverance, we see who we need to copy. We see what we need to cope. But lastly, beloved, we see why we need to continue. Listen, it's in the text. Because here, through James, the Spirit of God is encouraging us to keep on going. Listen, he says, patiently endure the struggles of this life. And watch what he says. He has given us a model in the prophets and Job. He has given a method by showing us the kind of patience we need. And looking further in the passage, James also gives us a motive for persevering, carrying on and not quitting. I like that because every now and then, beloved, we need to be reminded of that there's something worth
preserving for. There is something worth preserving for. Listen, beloved, first of all, we patiently carry on because, listen, we are testifying to God's people. That our life is simply a testimony of what God can do. Again, verse 10, James points us to the prophets as an example of patience in difficulty. Then he says in verse 11, indeed, we count them blessed who endured. In other words, though the prophets suffered much in their service for the Lord, we see them being blessed for having endured the suffering. Their patience and perseverance for the Lord is a mainstay ministry model for us. Listen, and truth be told, we admire what they did for the Lord. And as we look at those prophets as an example, it is likely that someone is looking to us, listen, looking to you and I as an example as well. And no doubt, beloved, there's somebody in our life who's watching how we handle our hardship. There's somebody who wants to see how you're going to deal with your difficulty. They're looking to see whether or not you're going to take a licking and keep on ticking. They're looking to see if you will overcome with joy and with your faith intact. It could be a coworker that heard you testify of the goodness of God and now wonders if you will still say that God is good while you're suffering and while you're struggling. It could be that we are setting example for our children. We've preached to them and tried to model to them about faithfulness, and now they are watching to see if we will be faithful even when times get tough. You say, I'm going to quit. You say, I'm going to give up. Well, God says, don't quit. Preserve, because someone is watching you. Someone will count you blessed if you endure through difficult times. That's what somebody needs to understand real quick about the believer, is that the truth of the matter is we think that it is all about all of the trappings of humanity that makes us blessed. Come on, somebody help me. But the real blessing in our life is when we can endure difficulties and trials and tribulations, where we can endure tough times and still remain standing. That is, listen, it ain't because the car I drive that makes me blessed. It ain't the house I live in that makes me blessed. It ain't the money I got in my pocket that makes me blessed. What makes me blessed, what people see as a blessed individual, is not somebody with all the trappings, but somebody who is able to keep on standing in spite of whatever the hardship is. When you lost your loved one, you held your head up high. Folk were watching you. When you lost your job, they wanted to see if you were going to give up, throw in the towel and mope around the house. But no, you didn't do that. You began to give God glory and still give God praise. What they were saying is, I don't know what is about that individual. I don't know what it is about that person. What they're simply trying to say is that you were blessed. You were blessed beyond measure. Listen, I ain't blessed simply because I got the cowboy jersey on. That really ought to bless somebody. But listen, I'm blessed because, listen, in spite of what I've been through, in spite of the challenges in my life, I'm still standing. In spite of people trying to pull me down, I'm still standing. In spite of the difficulties that other folk have tried to throw my way, I wish somebody would help me. God has helped me to endure, and I'm blessed. And listen, beloved, I know I ain't the only one blessed in here. I know I ain't the only one that people look at and say they're blessed. You know that you're blessed because of what you've been through. You know you're blessed because of the challenges that God has allowed you to see. You know you're blessed because had it not been for the Lord on your side, and your life is simply a testimony to what God can
do. Somebody ought to shout amen. Listen, we need to continue because we are testifying to God's people, but secondly, we are trusting in God's plan. Watch verse 11. Come here, y'all. James says, you've heard of the steadfastness of Job. You have seen the purpose of the Lord and how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. When you think of the story of Job, what makes the story so powerful is not just that Job endured, but it's more so that what God did for Job in the end. James says, you have seen the purpose of the Lord. You see, the ideal of Job's story is that we're able to see that God was working out a plan that resulted ultimately in Job's good. Listen, God was not cruel to Job. He was full. The text says he was full of compassion and mercy, which he displayed in the end. He displayed it when, after Job lost everything, God blessed Job with more than he had before. He displayed, listen, mercy and compassion when he preserved the story for all generations to hear. And listen, as Christians, the truth is, we may not understand all that is happening in our life. We may not know why we are still paused in this pandemic after almost a year. Yet we believe, as Paul said in Romans chapter 8:28, that all things work together for good for them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. For us to give up now is to forget that in the end, the judge of all creation will do right by us. To quit now is to fail to trust the ultimate goodness of God. And I don't need to tell you, we serve a good God. Don't quit now. I wish I'm trying to encourage somebody. Keep on going. The truth is this: trust in God's plan. Remember, there is a power in persevering. That's why James chapter 5 verse 7 says, be patient therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. And verse 8 says, you also be patient like a farmer in verse 7, and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Simply that one day the Lord is coming back again. We got to hang in there as we look to the day when Jesus comes back again and calls his church to be with him. The Bible declares the dead in Christ shall arise. And I know, beloved, the truth of the matter is we got to hang in there because we are in the last days and the imminent return of Jesus Christ could be any day now. We got to keep on pushing. We got to keep on fighting. We got to keep on serving because one day the Lord shall return. And we want to hear the Lord say when he comes back, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I remember hearing the story of Christopher Columbus in his journal that after months at the sea, his crew began to be restless and even to threaten to throw him overboard and, listen, return back to Europe. But on October 12, 1492, land was finally spotted as the ship approached the island of the Bahamas. However, in the difficult days leading up to the discovery of land, when Columbus had to negotiate with his men to keep them from mutiny over and over again, in his journal, he wrote these words, no land in sight, but today we sailed on. I wish somebody would help me. Listen, no land in sight, beloved. We don't know when the Lord is coming back again, but I urge you, beloved, to keep on sailing. Keep on sailing. You may not see when the Lord or know when the Lord is coming back, but you got to keep on sailing. And I want to encourage you, beloved, sail on, for God will be a bridge over troubled waters. serve on, and you'll see that God will make a way for you. But work on, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Pray on, because God's plan is being worked on. And fight on, like my pastor used to say, I've seen the lightning flashing, and I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. Somebody say, but I heard the voice of my Savior bidding me to still to fight on. Why? Because he promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. I'm done, children, when I tell you, ain't God good? Am I right about it? Won't he make a way out of no way? If you know God good, you ought to say hallelujah. If you know God good, you ought to say glory to his name. If you know God good, you ought to say, can't nobody do me like Jesus. I got one more thing I need to tell you. I got one more thing I need to tell you, and that is this. Ain't he all right? I say, ain't he all right? I say, ain't he all right? If you know he all right, you ought to wave your hand in the air and wave it like you just don't care. There's power in perseverance. Preach, Reese. Fight on. Pray on. Work on. Serve on. Sail on. To see what the end's going to be.